Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Talking in the rain.
It's dippy-dippy-doo. It's morning, it's raining commentary. It's... Here we are. Look at that. There he is. Oh, all right. I've lost the ability to take the pictures. There we go. I look like Sylvester Sneakley.
Did you say it's raining commentary?
I did. Did you like that?
Like it. Straight off the bat. Wordplay. We may be compromised, but we will not be defeated.
To give you the whole scene, I have run up to Paul's. I was running, but, you know, not like the fittest man in the world, and also not like the happiest man in the world, because it's raining pretty hard.
It's really
but you
hard.
Are properly on the bench.
I'm a little bit on the bench, yeah.
We're resting that calf.
This calf thing that had been toadying around for a while, and it was me trying to ignore it, as you're always advised to do. And it eventually just led to, I saw my man, he said, you've just got to take a week fully off now.
Yeah.
Week fully off, do some exercises, sort yourself out, so that's what we're doing.
Well, thanks for coming out with us. And I've dragged you out in the pouring rain.
It's all right, it's okay, it's good. I like the rain.
It's incredibly nice.
I actually do like the rain.
Yeah. I like running in the rain normally.
Right.
But I'm a little bit, today I just realised that basically I'm still stinging from the virtual marathon.
Yeah, that's a long. It's a long way to run there.
But
I want. Do you think people took it less seriously because it wasn't a big event in terms of like post recovery? I know it's a lot of people sort of still running loads the weeks after and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I
it's
know.
Like
I
not
have
a big
been.
Deal or
I don't know. I can't speak for everyone else. I think for me, I've definitely felt the necessity of the recovery, but
yeah.
I'm a little bit too scared. That if I stop at this time, you know, when the autumn's coming in and
yeah.
everyone's holding up a little bit,
yeah.
that if I don't keep my kind of weekly runs up, I could drift into a less strict habit, you know?
Yes.
So it's more just a more sort of grumpy
continuation.
Lack of imagination.
Yes, yeah. I must say, I've put on a bit of weight already in the few days. I think because this... We're nowhere near lockdown now, but all that sort of chat about a week, 10 days ago of possibly 6 months of whatever it's going to be,
yeah,
kind of sparked me off again into like March memories. And my initial response in March was just get drunk and eat lots of rubbish food.
Absolutely,
I had a bit of a relapse. I have to be honest.
We are in
a bit of
a non-lockdown lockdown at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, just philosophically, you know, aside from the tier 1, 2, 3 business, like you say, it's just like. Sometimes you think, I'm going to do exactly what I did, i.e. drink a load of booze and watch something on Netflix. And then other times you think, God, I wrote a book.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Sod that.
Yeah, loads of stuff went on.
I played a lot of cribbage in April.
I'm not
planning on going back to that.
But for all the chat about people saying at some stage we're going to have to learn to live with COVID, we actually are, aren't we?
Oh, I can't.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's going to be
above and beyond all that,
that's
what we're doing, isn't it? That's what's happening, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That's what this is.
Yeah. And we've reached a stage now where the government say you need to go to lockdown, and mayor say I don't want to go into lockdown.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
Got absolute madness.
Well,
isn't it?
Like you know the sense of consensus and goodwill.
I'm not going, mate.
We're not the, you know, Britain, we're not really, we are actually...
Andy Burnham!
When you say consensus to Britain, people say, why should I?
Yeah.
In every direction, that's all of us. And yeah, any little kind of goodwill, let's all come together we had, we spent it.
Well, it went in March, didn't it?
We're not going to do it again.
Yeah. It's every man for himself.
Yeah!
Liverpool's got £5 more ahead than us.
it's
absolute chaos.
Isn't this gorgeous, though?
When I ran up here,
because we've just joined our classic parkland walk in the pouring rain. The leaves are still green on the trees.
It's absolutely incredible, yes.
And also, you know, relating to this lockdown stuff, with autumn coming, I've been missing the country so much.
Yeah.
I'm literally looking at a terrible... flooded road running down by the curb, and I thought, oh, it looks like a Lakeland stream.
Of course, we're not getting that travel as well that we used to get.
No, that's right. Just the other side of the bridge where we joined the Parkland Walk, they're doing some tree work, and I took a path I've never taken before. You probably know it. It's like just next to the walk, but it goes along through the trees.
Yes, yeah, that's quite nice of it, yeah.
Yeah, I'd never seen it, and it was like, it reminded me so fiercely of the Braidburn through, what's it called, Blackwood Glen?
Right.
In the south of Edinburgh.
Look at that, have you seen that there? Look, COVID, look.
What does it say?
that's what it is.
Yeah, that's it. There he is, he's coming in.
Coming in.
The green man of the walk.
Coming in. Keep your distance.
There you go. This picture's good because you've got the edge of my umbrella in it as well.
Nice.
And then you've got...
And then that's the UK population. What we're meant to do.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Namaste means... I've got to read the rest of that out. Gets quite sweary after that.
Little bit sweary.
So, yeah, do you know what I mean? I'm sure we went there when we did our series of runs in Edinburgh. The Braidburn, the Hermitage of Braid, that's it.
Right.
Which is where Miss Jean Brodie taught.
Right.
And, it runs across to the south of Edinburgh on the other side of the hill, and you climb up through... You go up through this kind of gorge where the river's tumbling down, or you can go left up the hill across the golf course. Oh, it's just the best.
Yeah,
so, and that's just one of them. Someone was, a friend of the show, was listening to us on a walk down by the Tyne the other day.
Aye.
And that's a nice... Alright.
Alright.
You're doing great.
You're doing great, Rob. It's 10 days after the marathon.
You've done your 36th,
and I'm still talking to you.
How about this? You haven't finished.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about your recovery, mate. You're not gone easy enough.
And how have you been? How have you been in the?
How have you been this last week, mate? Hi, Rob. It's Paul Radcliffe here. Are you counting how many steps you're doing per minute? Oh, don't worry about Paula. She tends to go on a bit about the steps idea.
I'm like a sock puppet, Steve Crumb.
Like little Stevie Crumb. Morning, Rob. Time for breakfast.
Happy birthday.
They really go mad for the app.
Little Stevie Crumb.
Little Stevie Crumb in your pocket.
I'd like to apologise to this legend of British athletics.
Absolute legend.
Deeply disrespectful. Strangely habit forming.
Of a national icon at a time of peril. Over.
It reminds me of my...
seems to be mimicking the police impersonation within normal everyday speech, haven't
you? Everyone's got a brolly. Brolly's out.
Brolly's up.
Nothing. We went for a brolly salute, didn't get anything, did we?
Yeah, no, nothing. Didn't work. Good effort.
It's almost as if normal people don't see having a brolly as something to be, as like some sort of joke.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people use them and don't really think about it.
Yeah, they're using them purely for functional purposes as opposed to...
I have to say, you considering you were like, and we go out, do we? You're looking great. He's got the... I mean, I don't know who gave you these shoes... But it's in classic velour, which you don't normally get to see on the trail.
Classic velour.
And also your little raincoat's pretty dapper. Is that a brand?
This is one of the kids' ones. It's far too small for me.
I know. Well, maybe.
It's just something I've thrown together, Rob.
It's just a look you've thrown together.
Just little,
urban street fashion. Something you threw together. Looks like it. Over.
I bought some talking of, this is a bit of a lockdown admission.
Yeah.
And as listeners know, via the medium of advertising, I genuinely got into vests this year.
Right, yeah.
And that's affected my look, because as autumn's come on, I've started adding sweatshirts in the David Rose style.
Right, yeah.
And I bought myself, because I just sometimes at home, trousers are just too hot. And you can't hang around
for
in your pants
or
your pajamas.
For those moments when trousers are too hot.
Are your trousers too hot?
Too
hot. Oh, Rob, are your trousers a little bit too hot this morning?
You might want to take them off, mate.
Slip them off.
What's happening
you
now?
You just slip them off and put on your vest, and I'll just make you a nice cup of cocoa.
Oh, I can't, because I'm just a sock, essentially.
Paula Radcliffe here. You shouldn't be drinking cocoa this hour.
Paula, let me and Rob relax.
How come these are our voices now?
Yeah. I can't tell.
Paula's so angry.
Angry Paula. Steps
so fast.
Nodding with every stride.
Oh, come on. We should really make them out of socks. Right, I'm going to get... That's another project. Okay.
So what were you going to say about your trousers? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. So I got myself some yoga trousers.
Oh,
and
really?
They're pretty good. I've got to tell you. They're light. You know, they're proper trousers. It's got pockets and everything.
Yeah.
But I can wear them around the house with my vest. And frankly, namaste.
Namaste.
I'm literally going to...
Absolutely.
I think I'm going to do more yoga as a result.
Namaste paste.
Because they're light. I did my exercises in them the other day. Like they didn't constrain my knees.
Yeah.
They weren't too hot.
Something else I don't constrain as well. It's nice to swing low, sweet chariot, isn't it?
I've told you not to call that a sweet chariot.
yoga!
So, yeah, I'm actually going to do yoga now. And my family just are so happy to see less of me in my pants.
I actually ended up, because I was writing an article yesterday for Runner's World.
Yeah.
And I wrote about the...
someone who... I can't do your voice. All the voices we do.
I just hoping someone has sent me some shoes.
I wrote about... helping you the last 4 miles of the London Marathon.
Oh, great.
And I came to some pretty heavy conclusions.
Great.
Which was that essentially it felt like it was a day to celebrate dads, to celebrate you. It felt like your family was celebrating you that day.
Ah,
after all the work you put in during the pandemic, when you were the only guy, went to the shop, you stay in Alcaftia. And then it felt like a day to celebrate Dad. Was that too much? Was that projection bias on my part?
Was that
an overreach?
Do you know what? It's a funny thing. It's like there's a kind of a yin and a yang. I think your projection is good. You know me well and you called it. But also, always, for better or worse, down the years, I've always felt that kind of generational energy going in both directions.
Yeah, well,
so I often feel for and about my kids at exactly the same time as I feel for and about my mum and dad.
Right, okay.
And
yeah,
they kind of operate at the same time. So that's very much on that curve, isn't it?
Right, yes.
So I'm out there running, you know, trying to make a bit of money for Parkinson's, and they're out there supporting me. And
that's nice. That's right. You finally had chat to you before I wrote the article. I could have picked up on that.
Yeah, or maybe they could have commissioned me, the guy who ran the blooming marathon.
As opposed to the bloke who just hitched on at the end.
Are you doing all right?
Oh, how are you, mate?
Get assassinated, aren't you?
Tired. 22 miles in.
Honestly, if anyone out there, if you're a running commentary fan and a keen knitter, we're looking for sock puppets of me and Paul, the policeman, and Paula Radcliffe and Steve Cram.
Yeah. Bless him. Bless old Crammy.
Bless them all.
So much running between last week and this week?
So, the week before last was the week off the back of the marathon. It was a 40-mile week, but, of course, 26.2 of those were done on the Sunday morning.
Right.
So that was good.
Yes.
And then last week, I did... I kept up to my 30, but I felt it. It was tough.
Yeah,
I could feel that I was in recovery and it was a bit of a slog. But I just was too... I didn't want to not do it, you know what I mean? So I kept that going. And I'm trying to shift back into a nice long run at the beginning of the week, then sort of steady, chatty mileage with you and my wife in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
And then a nice fast run at the end of the week. It's to be noted that the end of the week is quite close to the beginning of the week.
It is, yeah. Those two are quite close together.
That's an issue. But... but of course, it's a different week.
Yeah. We get to start again.
And I did that. I had a misjudgment in my, head maths, putting my miles together, and inadvertently left myself with 2 miles rather than 3 miles to do on Saturday. And in terms of trying to get my speed back up and training for this 10K, I embraced it. I thought, okay, I'm just going to run 2 miles, but I'm going to run as fast as I can. And I did. It wasn't very successful, really, because I probably should have just gone out and done the... just done my kind of parkrun distance. But
permission to speak. Permission to speak.
Oh, so granted.
I don't think you gave yourself virtually any recovery post-marathon.
Not really, no.
And I wonder why, because normally you'd have a few... Well, not I don't know. Everyone does it differently, don't they? But
yeah.
The fact that you're pushing it tempo-wise a week after...
Yeah.
It feels... But, you know, each to his own, and there's not much else going on in life, and I totally get it. But it's not your normal physical post-marathon recovery, is it?
No, I haven't done much recovering at all. And I can tell, you know, because it's been sore and everything.
Right.
Just trying to ease back into it. I'm loath to let it go. You know, it's like going right back to the beginning.
Yeah.
I remember when I started running and I first signed up for an event, I was like, that's fine, but as long as it doesn't affect my running. Do you know what I mean? The events are subservient to the
right. Yeah, yeah. That's first. As opposed to you're not event focused. You're more running. The running's the thing. Not running
exactly,
for the event.
I get that. And I like events, but it's a place to kind of park all that stuff.
Right.
Like you know, like I'm never after a PB unless I'm in an event. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that I also think I'd never get one unless I was in an event.
Yes. Yeah.
And those two things go hand in hand. In the rest of the time. You know, and of course I'm running listening to music, you know.
Yeah.
I was talking about coming up here, up the park, walking in the rain. Sheep by Pink Floyd came on with like Birdsong and stuff. It's like, I'm running on
beautiful.
The hills in Wales. It was
beautiful,
great.
Yeah, gorgeous, gorgeous.
But it's, I know what you mean. I don't quite know why I didn't take much of a break. I might have been more influenced by Martin Hutchinson than I meant
to be. I think a lot of people, Martin included, but many have sort of the same thing. They just kind of rolled on through, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I suppose...
Sorry to jump in, but you're exactly right. I hadn't seen it, but it's because at some level we're not treating it like it was a inverted commas, real event.
A proper event, yes.
Yeah.
It was sort of like... A big, long individual, not a training run, but because it lacks the sort of paraphernalia of an event.
Yeah.
How could you not see it? You're obviously not going to view it as such, are you?
And on the other hand, it's like the worst of both worlds, because it is the end of a, you know, I felt burnt out by it.
Yeah.
So because I felt burnt out, I felt psychologically, if I let that go into my training schedule,
yeah.
then I just end up feeling sorry for myself in my house.
Yeah.
You know, I want to get out there. The running is still... really important for
all sorts of reasons.
You know, for mental health
and
for headspace.
Yeah.
More than ever. So I think I've been thinking, I'm aware of this, it's good to talk about it, and I've been trying to, I basically need to justify, which is stupid, but because I've missed the bus on doing it after the marathon, I kind of need to justify a tape a week.
Right, fair enough. Yeah.
So, we'll see.
We'll see.
And I'm trying to get my pace up. Like I say, I ran 2 miles as fast as I could, and on that day... because I'm still in recovery, it wasn't that fast at all. I wasn't making what I'd like to think of as my 2020 parkrunny pace.
Right.
The only fast thing I did is I did do, because I felt guilty about stopping after 2 miles, I went for the proper cruise finish.
Right.
And as a result of that, I was running, at the end, I was running at 6 minute mile pace.
Wow.
But that was not... for a mile.
Not for long, yes.
Probably for about 10 yards.
Yeah,
long enough for my phone to see it happen.
Yes, thing. For it to register. Yeah.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because if you can do it, you think, that's the thing you want to stretch out. If you can do a six-minute mile for a quarter of a mile, can you do it for a half a mile?
Well, it seems like a different world now. But when we did that 5K time trial on the track over the summer, we did the first mile, bang on 6 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And we weren't, like, shattered at the end of it. We were just, like, obviously we set off a bit fast, but we forged on, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't it weird?
Well, and I, like I said, I feel that there's three things pulling against each other here, because on the one hand, you're right, I need to kind of take it easy on my legs. And on the other hand, I really want to get my pace up. And on my third hand, oh, my God, I've got 3 hands! On my third hand is a sock. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
I can't believe what's happened.
I'm on your third hand. It's like the third eye that the mystics talk about, and the all-seeing, all-knowing hand.
You're not going fast enough. I think that if you're still on the bench, maybe sometime, and quite soon, because I'd like to do it before this 10K,
yeah.
we could get back to the track, and you could coach me to a bit of pace.
No, that'd be good, yeah. I mean... hopefully I'm not going to be benched for long, but I'm going to have to take it easy on the way back out of this.
Yeah, you need to be... You just need to take it seriously.
It's so tedious. It's so tedious, isn't it? So, old bodies breaking down, then you start up again, then just as you feel you're getting back off, then you're off the horse again.
Yeah.
Then you realise you've been horse bothering, and that's not what this podcast is about.
It's horses, poor horses.
Yeah. So
Hoss. I find the word hoss to be one of the funny words. So H-O-S-S. I suggested to my friend Tom the bassist the other day that we call our band Jesus Hoss. He didn't like it.
Tom the bassist. So it's absolutely...
Is that Tom the bassist to the tune of Catch the Pigeon?
Yeah.
Tom the bassist.
So it's absolutely pouring down still.
Yeah.
This is bedded in now, isn't it?
But the thing about this weather is it always feels like it's permanent, but it so often isn't. But then it was, wasn't it, at the beginning of the month, and it is October. We're equinoctial.
Yes.
Why not?
Yeah.
I love running in the autumn. It is my favourite time for it.
It's funny, isn't it, that favourite seasons thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of...
It's a bit like the times of the day thing, not just running, but in life. You know, some people are good in the evening, some people like running in the morning, and so on and so forth.
It just depends how you're feeling, doesn't it? You can be miserable in the height of summer, can't you? It's sort of... I mean, I like running. I tend to run naturally about midday, but... It's fun any time, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, also, I think...
The run's where the fun is.
When running is funning.
Yeah.
Oh, we forgot about that hashtag.
Yeah.
Running is funning.
Yeah.
It's also, in terms of training, rather than just going for a nice run, you get into a kind of win-win situation. Because I always think if you want to be strong and do well, I always come back to Andy Murray. You've got to, in terms of individual sporting endeavour, you've got to win when you're winning and win when you're losing.
Right.
And focus on the bit where you win, where you're losing.
Right.
So if you go out and you have a lovely run and the conditions are just how you like them and you feel good, then that's great. You bank that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But if you go out at the time of day you don't like to go out and you feel rough and you fight it all the way, but you survive and you're not injured and your pace turns out to be okay or whatever, that's training.
Totally.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah.
You know, because you can feel, on one, you feel pleased with yourself because you had a lovely time. And on the other one, you feel pleased with yourself because you kind of won. They face down a demon and sort it out.
Totes. I can tell that's in some very poor form recently, isn't he, Andy Murray?
He keeps
getting knocked out by early doors, and he's got chronic injury stuff going on, hasn't he?
That's right. He had one kind of Murray-esque game in the, was it the French Open?
He had a big five-setter and that kind of...
But that was
drained him for the year.
Yeah. And it was a flash of the old times. It was a flash of all the negative energy of the old times.
It's sort of like every game he wins is sort of like torturous nowadays, isn't it? It seems to be at that stage.
Just dragging it.
Yeah.
Which is good. That must have. I should think that's always been his favourite bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't like the winning.
Ankle. Mum, where's the watch? Get the watch! When wins the US Open for the first... Get the watch! Where's the watch? The sponsor's watch! about 10 seconds relaxation before this sponsor obligation crept in.
But you've got to remember that 10 seconds relaxation for a Scottish person is a big deal.
Yeah, that's massive. That's massive for him.
Andy Murray sock puppet.
Yeah. Get the watch, Rob!
Where's the watch?
Where's the watch?
Where's my watch?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Trepidatious.
Yeah, it's a bit wet.
Trepidatious scenes.
Look at this.
Let's have a look.
It's a bit sad.
What's it say?
Someone's lost a snake.
Oh, no.
A very loved, harmless snake. And then the little one's, someone younger, has drawn a picture.
Oh.
And a much-loved pet snake lost in garden, completely harmless and very friendly. So please don't be scared.
That's a shame.
He's black and yellow. If found, please keep him warm. And then over here at the top of Parkland Walk, it's got bats on it. So what's brilliant is 10 days out from Halloween. It's all quite Halloween-y up
here.
It
is, yeah.
There's also a little signboard over here that says you can see vampires along here.
Like it. Nice. To be expected.
Do you know, I never knew, I feel quite stupid, that other beloved bit of path, the terrace out to Alexandra Palace.
Yeah.
That is also the Parkland Walk. That's the Parkland Walk North.
Which bit?
And this is the Parkland Walk South.
Which bit?
The if you come out and go through the tunnel out the other end of Highgate Woods.
Yeah.
Where we often go.
Yes.
I just didn't know that was what it was called. Now, you missed something good there that I think you'd have enjoyed.
Go on then.
It had everything. It was performative. It was about interaction. It was runningy.
Yeah.
Standing at the top of the Parkland Walk there.
Yeah.
And this guy, strapping young guy, came running up the walk.
Yeah.
Bless him. I feel very engaged with all runners today because, you know, they've come out in the rain.
Yeah, they obviously like running. Yeah.
And a couple of times they've got the old, you know, that kind of look at us doing this exchange of looks, which is particularly welcome in London, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, this bloke... Obviously, I'm not running, although it wouldn't take a detective.
It wouldn't take Sherlock Holmes to indicate that you're of the running tribe.
Because I'm
dressed
running
as you
shoes
are,
in my
toe in running
hydration
kit.
Vest, etc. Anyway, and so I stood at the top of the park walk and I was smiling at this guy and I stood well out of his way so he could run, sort of get past me with distancing and stuff. He did not interact, raise an eyebrow, smile.
Right, yeah.
And yet, I'm pretty confident that he'd seen me. Yeah. First of all, because he was, you know, clearly sentient.
Yeah.
And secondly, because he was running up, not making any noise. And then when he got to me, his top three breaths of the walk, he went, and then he kind of slapped the wooden post in a way I'm fairly confident if he was on his own, he would not have made such a meal of.
What, and then ran back
and
again?
And then headed back down.
He's one of those out and backers.
So good luck to you, mate. But that was brilliant. Honestly, the breaths at the top of the walk really, really made me miss parkrun.
What was he wearing?
Black.
I wonder whether, to me, that indicates new runner. It's a new, anyone who's put that performative thing, it's a new running phenomenon as well. Also, the out and back thing.
Yeah, right.
I very rarely run out and back. It's always circular for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like, people do it here, though. They run out and back down the...
and it's a good place for it. I mean, there's lots to be said for it, isn't there? The Parkland Walk is on the one hand, really flat, but on the other hand, downhill and uphill. So you get kind of best of both
and
worlds.
And soft underfoot.
It's soft underfoot. It's very countrysidey. Yeah. So if you don't... You know, you've got to make your peace with pavements and crossing roads and stuff.
Here,
you don't have to do any of that. Yeah. And in terms of reps, it's long, right?
No, it's really
if you're
long.
On a run 10K,
it's probably three times this, you'll have exceeded that,
I'd have said.
Yeah.
And so I totally get it. And also, like you say...
I don't like him. I haven't met him. I don't like him.
Yeah. But people who do loops, you know, I see it. And
I'm always a looper.
Do you know what? But you don't mind repeating. Like, you'd go, if you want to run further, you do your run, but you just do
around
the woods lots of
times. Yeah, many little loops, yeah.
That's the bit I have trouble with. Whereas, on the other hand, there and back, I have to say, I'm sort of like, instinctively would go against there and back, but experience tells me that, particularly when you're trying to get your mileage up, it's great because of the two halves of the marathon principle. Right, even on the training one, say you want to run 10 miles,
yeah,
you've got that... you run 5 miles and you turn back.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that before. If I'm doing a really long run, I've run 10 miles out and 10 miles back.
Yeah, and then when you get to the halfway point, you've only done half of it, and by the time you get to the bit where you think, "Oh, I've gone really far," you're well on the way back.
You're on your way back, yeah.
And you don't get that experience with a loop. Talking of psychological experiences, a couple of things from Twitter.
Yeah,
Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Richard. Did a 10-miler the other day, a proper socially distanced but official 10-mile running event. That's a good running racing distance, isn't it?
Yeah, 10 miles is great. Very rarely run, but great, yeah.
That's right. It feels, what I love about it is that even it being rarely run is nice because it feels kind of old-fashioned.
Yeah, it means you can get more PBs if you run it irregularly as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And how did you get on?
Yeah, pretty well. I think it was really good.
Yeah.
And him and his, I want to say wife, both did it. And
nice.
And good luck to him. And we were just saying what a nice distance it is. I'd like to do one of those. And I don't think I've ever done one. We were supposed to be doing one in Richmond Park and couldn't do it for some reason. But
There's some PBs knocking about. People are getting these PBs.
Yeah, well, someone got a 5K and a 10K in the same event.
Yeah.
Which is
crazy.
An impressive bit of pace.
It's amazing.
And but also talking to PBs, it was Mark who got some Vaporflies.
Really?
And went out and got a 5K PB.
Yeah.
Whilst in recovery from
America. Yeah. He got a 5K
just
PB.
Just because of these magic cheaty shoes.
Yeah. When
incredible.
He just nipped out to the shops to get the paper and he found himself with a PB in his
hands. Yeah, I put the Vaporflies on them.
I just put the shoes on, they ran themselves.
I was in form. But it's funny, isn't it?
I was 10 kilometres away.
I don't think, you know, sort of joking about sort of cheating and stuff, but it is, you know, it's
obviously cheating.
But I was going to say, the thing I would worry about is no one's going to give you a hard time. No Vaporflies, they're available. It's still your run. It's more
your conscience.
The personal feeling of not having done all the work yourself, which I think Mark said in the end. I always feel kind of guilty
about
it.
Well, there's huge debates about it. I mean, because I'm on Twitter, obviously far too much on this, but Tim Hutchins, who's an Olympic...
The Wetherspoons guy.
Yeah, the Wetherspoons guy. No, is he
lovely hair.
He's an Olympic, like, 5,000-metre runner. Oh. And, you know, he's a world-class athlete, long retired now, in the 80s when I was coming through. He's really having a moan about all these new records getting set. But just saying, listen, it's fine, but we've got to have records pre-Vaporflies and post, because they've changed the landscape, because now everyone's wearing them. They're all running faster than they ever have before.
Yeah.
And it's kind of... There's definitely a big shout for wiping the slate clean and starting. But having said that, then it'll be the next shoe, you know, Zoomster
exactly.
or something.
Yeah.
It's not even an arms race, is it? It's a foot race. And it's constantly changing the rules, isn't it? It's constantly changing the context within which performances are perceived.
Absolutely.
I found myself
correct.
In quite a boring sentence.
Yes. we have assessed not merely the experience of the Vaporflies, but the scientific significance of said footwear.
Because it took me ages to realise, because I'm so dense. Hey, mate. That it wasn't just performance, of course, because these trains are expensive. But rich sponsored athletes will wear them in training, so they're just running faster all the time.
Yeah, so then
so
their
just changes
all the
everything.
Muscles get used
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, yeah, just, it just changes everything.
Yeah.
Splashing in puddles is a lot of fun on the Parkland Way with my mum. He was having a laugh, wasn't he?
Yeah, excellent. Do you know, sometimes, though, you see a lot of kids slashing in puddles, and quite right, too, because that's the time in life to do it. And I think some kids absolutely love it. But I think it's a bit of a cultural cliche as well. So I think sometimes...
Some kids
and
don't like
I would,
it.
I think, and I'm really projecting here, but keep your eye out, see if you agree with me. Sometimes you'll see a toddler slashing in puddles, and they are loving it. They're totally in the zone. It's like jazz for them. And other times, you see a toddler... And you feel like they're going, what, like this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
that, yeah,
if you want me to. Yeah. And the carer's going,
told,
that's it!
I've been told that photos. This is fun, but they lied to me. This is the first lie of many that my parents have told me. I also hate balloons, yeah.
And that's
but you're
the
right, there's a lot of pressure to enjoy the splashing in puddles thing.
And some kids are just going to think, you know, like, I would never have done it. It's like, well, then, I'm just going to be wet then. Why would I do that?
Yeah, yeah, what's the point? Questioning the validity of the splashing in puddles being fun scenario.
The youngest members of the police force, police toddlers.
Some of the toddlers during training have resisted the splashing in puddles section of the training process.
Purporting to be puddle splashes, actually masquerading as puddle splashes.
Yeah, we
just
have puddle phobic toddlers who seem to suggest that all they'll get at the end of this training is wet feet. Over.
So someone said on Twitter, did a their survey, the Running Commentary survey, which if someone held a gun to my... I think I introduced the gun.
Right.
If someone held a gun to my head, would I buy Vaporflies or get on Strava? And the answer is buy Vaporflies.
Yeah, I'd buy
Vaporflies. I'd love a pair of Vaporflies.
Well, I find myself still sort of in the sort of purgatorial, limboic, Strava-less, whilst being connected to Strava universe, where...
Yeah, I just find myself in a moment created by you using the word limboic.
Yeah. Where I can't seem to connect one with the other.
Yeah.
This is going to be such a tedious episode, isn't it? But also I can't run anyway. Also I can't run at the moment. It's not like we're missing anything. I've got a couple of runs on my Garmin and my Garmin Connect, and I can't seem to get to Strava.
If you, instead of trying to look for
there will
Paul
be people listening to this going, you stupid! What the fuck? Just do the thing where you keep it on the thing, leave the...
It's supposed to have let it up!
All you've got to do is stick the thing in the... Take it out! Just one...
You know that comedian George Egg has got a handmade cardboard thing that he rotates, and there's a result, so you can do it like live on stage.
Right.
And it looks like he's buffering.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
like
nice.
The little circle going around
nice
while the computer
idea.
Catches
really
up.
Nice idea,
and that's what you need. We need a kind of GIF of you doing that.
Yeah.
And then we'll put it where your Strava page should be. So every time someone goes on there and sees
just
if you're
buffering,
there.
Yeah. Just downloading so many runs.
He's not running, he's
buffering. Yeah.
He's buffering till the end of time. And then the good thing is if you had that, then people would stop asking me if you were on there yet.
I'm getting the odd, why doesn't Paul upload his runs to Strava? Well, at the moment, I'm not running, so it's not a big drama. It's not a big drama. The uploading on Strava, but
someone quite nicely said to me, the thing is you can be on Strava and then keep your runs private, and that was very kind of them, but that still seems to suggest that I somehow are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah,
that I want to be on Strava in
anyway. Yeah. I mean, to me, the whole point of being on Strava is to share my runs and join the community.
Exactly. It's not my secret Strava shame.
We've all done it, but that was funny, wasn't it?
It was preposterous.
That was incredibly over-exaggerated. You know when you...
That was a sequel, yeah, to my guy at the top of the run. He was more so.
When you see people sort of balancing on a tightrope and they've got their arms out. And sometimes you do that when you think you're going to fall because it's slippery underneath. We just saw one of those
And you
merchants.
Did just slip the other day, so fair enough.
Yeah, but he did that for about 20 metres.
I thought it was his run.
I thought it was taking the mickey.
I thought he had some difficulty. And also, do you think that there was some... suggestion that it was our fault that he was going through the mud.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, bloody brollies.
Anyway,
people with their brollies.
Just you. But to give
shouldn't
you
be wearing brollies. COVID.
grumpy, tired dad got some dirty looks on the beach, creeping back into running with his injury.
Oh yes.
And then was running on the clifftop path and brilliant hypocritical, huge
swathes family
of seven
abreast.
People giving going.
Managed and to make him the problem.
We were reminded of the old lady who said, you're not
the Huffers
and Puffers.
I've seen you. I call them the Huffers and the Puffers.
I have to say that just...
I skewer them.
With my stick.
With my stick with a sword concealed.
The funny thing is, from here, is that you... by the way, we never really conjured a picture of that guy. He was kind of... he had his hands flat. Waving side to side, like a kind of quite a jazz shimmy.
Yes.
And he
yes.
was kind of keeping his feet flat like he was on ice. And he was going...
Like he was in extreme danger.
But like you say, he did it for so long that we thought that was how he ran. You're doing great.
You're doing
just
great.
Another 3 miles.
If you continue that action, it might stop you falling over. But you
wave your
look,
hands from side to side.
You will look a bit daft.
So what was I saying about that of the
much better running form there?
Yeah, that was more like it.
Yeah, tidy.
but the damn it, Huffers and Puffers. The lady
Huffers and the Puffers.
I think you know whenever
that's,
that was.
That's
it was
what I call
full
them.
On lockdown. It was like
it was about early May.
Possibly our first socially distanced run after the look at those mushrooms. That's brilliant. Talk about feeling like you're in the country.
In the country.
Oh, you're in the country. You got a better of beers. You got a better beer in the country.
You never need to be in the country.
In the country. Mushrooms, bats. I mean, how Halloween was that? Spooky, spooky mushrooms.
Yeah, that's nice.
I just think it's funny that on our first social distance run, we met that old lady who said she liked to poke people who have to puff on their end. The fact that she was meeting you at that time.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. She doesn't realise how close she came to death that day.
I do find it bizarre the way that runnerism still continues.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Absolutely zero evidence of transmission ever from runners outdoors.
Yeah, it's like when I think there's a real corollary with it doesn't matter. But I went to the Woodbury Down the other day. Went around the reservoir.
Yeah,
I just got there and thought every time I run past it, I'm angry. And I was on a nice little easy run. I was thinking about what you were saying, running too much. And I thought, well, walk around. Because I'd come out for a couple of miles, clear my head around anyway.
Right, yeah.
So I went and walked around Woodbury Down. And
They stopped you?
Well, no one stopped me, but I got some dirty looks. So basically, you can't walk around Woodbury Down in running clothes.
God, I hate them. I mean, I just have to not be there. I mean, what were there enough people there to have stopped you if you wanted to run? Well, in the middle of winter, you'd thought there'd be less people about.
Yeah, it was loads of people.
They've still got the snipers there, loads of people.
It was on a weekend morning. So outside the cafe and all around the path, there was like big gangs of women with pushchairs.
Yeah.
And good luck to them, you know, and they've got babies and stuff. They're having a great time. But stomping toddlers and rolling pushchairs are completely harmless to birds.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas runners are...
We seem to have a runner approaching from a westerly direction, Sniper 2. If you could take him out as he approaches the cafe.
Shoot to kill.
Shoot to headshot only.
That will be next. Sniper turrets at Woodland Wetlands.
Too far
for them?
Not far enough. Take out those huffers and the puffers.
I like the way, there's a real, talking of yin and yang, I like the real sense of balance. So we really do want to be as democratic as possible and communicate with as much, not just the running community, but the community of the world.
Outreach.
And yet,
always outreach.
We're like, these runners are idiots. These people who hate runners, they're idiots. People who wear shoes, idiots.
Fast shoes, they're the real ones.
Mushrooms, though, lovely mushrooms. Anyone seen a snake?
She was labouring a bit more, wasn't she? Labouring.
Yeah. That's it. That was one of the reasons when the cup here, I thought we could at least see other runners.
No, you're right. Yeah, it has been better. We've had a bit of an adventure. It's good to have an adventure, isn't it?
It's always nice. And one day soon, we'll have some real, get some, you know, places. I wish I'd found a snake today. That would be an adventure.
It's pretty tough finding a snake in these conditions. A yellow and green snake. When you look around, it's quite...
It's yellow and black, and it's harmless.
Right.
Have you ever seen the film Anaconda?
No. Any good?
It's absolutely terrible.
Really?
But, you know, compellingly so.
Right.
Quite fun. It's on Netflix.
Did I tell you about when I went to see Tenet the other day?
How much did it cost? A Tenet?
Probably more, actually. But my God. Did I tell you about it?
I don't know about it.
I had to leave the cinema, mate. Appalling movie. And I rarely leave cinemas, but I'm so intolerant this morning. I was 40 minutes in. After 20 minutes, I said to my mate, I made the gesture of let's go and eat, the universal gesture of let's go and eat. He said, what? This early? I said, this isn't going to get any better. But we stayed and watched it.
Yeah.
About 40 minutes in, I realised, A, I didn't understand anything that was happening. And B, I didn't care for any of the characters. What was that? Do you know, let's just save myself a couple of hours.
Yeah.
So we just did one.
And yet,
but I'm open to debate.
Anaconda to the end.
Yeah.
Well,
no, but there's a delight in bad films. There's been films I've watched that are so bad they become funny, and that's great. But this one was so expensive as
well. Yeah, that's right. And the other thing is that there's this kind of, it was a kind of poster boy film for where the cinema industry is at. And I feel that within that, it had this kind of bulletproof, you know, there's something about Christopher Nolan. It's like, well, it's obviously not his fault. You know, the pandemic has stopped people going to see this film. And I haven't seen it, right? But I understand it's full of exposition and story shenanigans, folk cleverness.
Yeah.
But the title alone is dreadful.
Yeah.
That's a terrible title.
What are you on about? But it's also a lot about...
I get that it's a palindrome. That's not enough to make that's interesting.
It's a lot about time and things happening in different time... on different timelines. So once you establish that anything can happen at any time, the whole thing just falls in on itself.
It becomes meaningless.
I just literally don't get what we're meant to be watching.
Well, you know what you should do, what we did this week, and what is this is the day. You should watch Back to the Future.
Ah,
now
right.
That is a time travel film to beat.
That is a great movie, isn't it?
It's so good. Kids watched it for the first time 5 years ago, but I think we kind of pretty much watch it every year now. And, you know, so many good things about it. Michael J. Fox's performance is such super... It's like comic acting, you know? When he says he built a time machine out of a DeLorean, he doesn't overdo it. It's a lightly worn line.
Yes,
but he gets so much entertainment out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's hitting different beats. He's surprised. His character is so good because he's realistic and he's fallible, but he's got skills.
The
other actors are good. The story's good. They get that the thing... if they did the things with Biff and his mum, if they did that stuff wrong,
yeah,
it would be horrible.
No,
but they get it all right, and
it's a great movie. We're thinking of going out tonight because my youngest son Rudy's got a girlfriend coming round.
Do you talk about that like in front of him? It must be great for him.
He wants us out of the house. Not only that, he's cooking her a meal, so that's going to be entertaining. So it's probably best that we're not there for that one.
All right, so you're clearing.
We're vacating the house. Yeah. What a run. Good time. Should we walk on a bit? We've come to the end of the pattern where we were normally in, but I've really enjoyed this little stroll.
Yeah, it's good to catch up.
It is, yeah, and hopefully I'll be able to give it some sort of kinetic movement next week.
Yeah, and of course, hopefully, a stroll is a good thing.
That's the problem, isn't it? In terms of, like, rest, I can't not do anything, so I'm walking a lot, but of course, that's not really helping that much.
No.
But the idea of just completely resting, it's so depressing, isn't it?
Yeah.
To not physically move for that long. It's just
no, it's kinship and you're not the only person dealing with injury. It's such a pain. And like I say, it becomes a kind of relationship with the injury, you know?
Yeah, I don't like it.
No.
Yeah.
It's a relationship you want to end. You want an injury divorce.
It's all one way. It's all the injury. It's all about the injury.
Did you?
so many coming for her. They're all coming. I love little excerpts of phone conversations.
Yes.
They're on the way. They're coming for her. Get out the house now. They're coming. They're on the way.
I think that's what she said. I you know what you mean though. That one snippet.
I loved
Edinburgh once, and some sort of students came past. Real like this was years ago, and maybe I'm exaggerating the 90s-ness of it, but the guy kind of had big shorts and, it's a bit sort of surfery. He was like the stoner guy in Clueless, right?
Yeah.
Three guys walking up the road, they're all laughing. And then the guy's kind of summing up the story that they'd already had. He said, crash and burn, man, crash and burn.
Here we go. Careful, mate. Careful. Stand back.
Hey, listen, I'm not running the marathon anymore. You don't need to help me cross the road. I'm absolutely fine.
Crossing the road.
God, did you see
the
view across town there? It's really good. It's just the... my phone can't handle it.
When you're crossing the road, Rob, it's always best to look left and right.
Oh, yes. Thanks, Steve.
And cross quickly. And count your steps.
Have I got... I'm going to leave you here because I'm self-sufficient, aren't I?
Yeah, you're running home.
It's getting a bit cold. I'm shaking off my umbrella with myself underneath it, and it's as a result, I'm getting quite wet.
Yeah, it is. Actually, the rain's eased. This will be nice for you to run home in, actually.
Beautiful. Yeah. I'm going to take one more picture of us with our brollies. Raining commentary.
Like it.
One more time for
always
that.
Always thinking.
Sweet number. There you go. Let's get your face. No, I can't see you. Oh, dear. I can't see you. You can't. Where is it? Come peep now. Peep now, or forever hold your. Oh, this is disastrous.
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering. Right. Well, mate, let's do the old stop the tape.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.